Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
How do you define accountability under your watch?
Yeah, accountability is really, we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to be who we say we're going to be. And if we fall short of that standard, then there has to be consequences to that. That can look a number of different ways. It's going to be on us as the coaching staff to outline what it should look like, what a Chicago Bear is going to look like, what that professional work ethic is going to look like.
That was Ben Johnson when he was introduced. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And the Bears continued to talk at minicamp yesterday. Mandatory minicamp, so you get a real accurate look of your team. And perhaps the new head coach in his first year under that title is getting a more accurate view of himself.
I think it's very interesting that we have a head coach who, because you're a new head coach, the first person you're going to be compared to is the last head coach, because that's the most recent memory that's seared into our brains. And
seared.
Ben Johnson has done everything in his power to show you just how different he is from the previous head coach, Matt Eberflus. And so you wonder exactly how he's going to be through this process, because again, he's only been a coordinator in this league as far as how high he's gone up the food chain. This is his first time as a head coach. So you wonder, as a head coach, not as a play caller, not as an offensive coordinator, but as a head coach, how he's going to handle things. And I think him being transparent and also highly introspective over the last few days just gives me hope, really, that this thing is headed not only in the right direction, but one that we can all agree on is should be standard operating procedure. And nothing that he said in these press conferences have led me to believe otherwise.
In our eyes and in fans' eyes, I think it's probably pretty easy to be Ben Johnson, to have the resume he has, to come in and know that he will be more trusted. He will have a lot of credibility out of the gate. People will give him more of the benefit of the doubt simply because he was incredibly qualified. We're familiar because we watched his work in the division. And we know that he was the biggest name in the coaching cycle. All of those things really make it easy for us to think that it's going to be different. But I think a big part of this is, if you're going to say you're holding these players to these standards, after they asked us, you know, with us, the media, about wanting that last season and explaining in so many different ways and not completely coming out and saying the direct things, but in everything else they said when it came to practice wasn't run right, we don't have enough discipline, where's the accountability? We heard these terms over and over and over again. They didn't necessarily point the finger at any one person, but we knew what the underlying sentiment was. So for them, it's going to take a little more work. And I think that's where the head coach actually doing the same thing with himself that he talks about with us is really important. So let's listen to that piece of it where we get that kind of comment from Ben Johnson.
How would you evaluate the job that you and your coaching staff did in this first minicamp?
I'm critical of myself. The practice was probably, it can be a little bit smoother in terms of how we function. I need to communicate to everyone a little bit better, whether it's the coaching staff, the equipment staff. I'm going to get better there. I'll do a better job once we get to camp. But I was really impressed with the entire coaching staff. I mean, we've got the right mix of guys, experience, youth, energy, ideas. It's coming together. And I hope our players have really understood. It's hard to gain trust in such a short period of time, but hopefully they understand that our guys mean business. This coaching staff means business. They know what good football looks like. They know what winning football looks like, and they're committed to bringing that here.
Holding yourselves accountable and walking the walk when you talk the talk, I think, is going to go a long way with them. This segment on Raheem and Harris is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Marshall, what do you hear when you hear that?
I hear a guy who understands that no matter what this portion of the offseason program went like, there's going to be room for improvement. And understanding that heading into it, hey, it's not going to be perfect, but we're going to do our best, and then we're going to learn from our mistakes. That's something that he's talking about, because you know what? That's a lesson that everyone underneath him, whether it be coaches, players, the trainer, the PR staff, anybody in that building can take away from that. Hey, even if we did okay or didn't do as well as we wanted, there's room for improvement, and we will strive to be better. That's all you really ask for when you're talking about the offseason. Because it's not measured in wins and losses at that point. It's just measured in, are we getting better every day? And having been a part of that Detroit Lions process where it was terrible for so long and you had to reset the culture, he understands what that process can look like. He's talked about it prior in terms of, hey, Rome wasn't built in a day, if we want to go extra cliche with it. But the idea is that we lay the foundation. That's what the first part of this has been about. And then we come back and we're like, hey, let's build a house. And you know what? It could be a regular house, or we could have a sun deck out back. How about we put a pool in? You know what? Not just a regular pool. We have those little nice, cute mini diving boards. He's just going to build this thing out until it's a palatial estate.
But what I also like is really coming back to the last segment too, where even if you build a house where the roof doesn't leak and the plumbing works, improvement.
You're achieving.
Yes. And then you get to add on. Like, both can be good. You know, and the piece of just the basic, I think, in this case is also good because it helps you reset your standards. Tyson Bagent was actually, I think, really important to this message yesterday. He spoke, and I think in saying all of what we just talked about, he wrapped it up pretty well.
I think, you know, first-time head coach, and I think he's doing a great job of, you know, trying to create culture in a place that's been asking for a while. So, and with that comes, you know, being unwavering in what you say and how you act. And I think that has been the case so far. He hasn't, you know, taken a step back from any claims that he's made up until this point.
It's the end, Layla. He hasn't taken a step back from any of the claims that he's made. That means he came in with a message, whether you want to go to the introductory press conference, the first time he met with all his players at the first OTAs, however you want to look at that. But he's saying, I heard him say some stuff, and then we went and did some stuff, and the stuff that we did, it matched all the stuff that he said.
I appreciate the fact that that was what you took out of it as the most important thing.
It's definitely the most important part.
I don't think so.
What was the most important part?
Where he says, building a culture out of a team who's been asking for one for a while. How many times did we hear about their culture in the locker room? And it's all about their culture. And what was the culture counter on comments when the former head coach said them all? Oh, when he said that, I was just like, man.
You know what?
If that doesn't prove everything
our culture
wrong.
Is awesome.
Well, listen, Layla, I'll say this.
Let's listen. I want you to say this, but let's also listen to it one more time after you say what you're going to say.
I'll say this. I guess the reason why I don't concentrate on that per se in terms of the culture that didn't exist, because I'm going to be like Tyree Stevenson right now, that the past is the past. We're looking for it. That doesn't matter anymore.
No, but I think it does to the players. Let's listen to Tyson Bagent again. And
I think, you know, first-time head coach, and I think he's doing a great job of, you know, trying to create culture in a place that, that's been asking for it for a while. So,
all right, so pause it.
And with that.
Culture in a place that's been asking for it for a while. But I heard.
Our culture is awesome.
Uh-huh. That silence you feel. That's, we're raising awareness for the silence today.
Is that what it is?
But that
punctuated
is, that,
silence.
That was how I processed that entire moment where Tyson Bagent filled me in there.
I heard the first part of it. I'm on board with the last part of it because, yo, do what you say. Say what you're going to do. Announce what you're going to do and then stick to what you said you were going to do. And that's the most important. Going forward, I think that's the most important part for this team is to know that they have a head coach who's going to establish, I guess it all ties in, establish the culture you're talking about, but he's doing that by doing what he says he's going to do.
Let's listen to even more of Tyson Bagent.
I like how thorough he is. I think that he can go down the rabbit hole of every situation in football with every position in football, which I think has been most impressive. Usually you get an offensive-minded guy or
a defensive-minded guy
at the helm of the team.
Does he realize that? Do you see what's happening here in my brain? Is anybody following what I'm saying where he's like in every position of football?
You're basically taking everything that Tyson Bagent has said in these two short clips. And the first one was only 19 seconds, by the way. And we haven't even gotten through the second one.
It's not my fault that Tyson Bagent is efficient.
The indictment on the previous coaching staff.
And I don't even think he's trying to do it.
No,
that's
what I'm saying. It's
yes,
not like
Ray?
He's not trying to throw shade. Oh, Ray, are we raising awareness? Go ahead.
Raise awareness.
The indictments on the Matt Eberflus era and coaching staff began the previous day with Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah.
They really did. The details.
Yeah. All the detail. This coaching staff is so detailed.
Do we have it? Let's just play it again because we're raising awareness today on the score.
Which one?
So, yeah, we're going to go back a couple days to the Tyreek Stevenson.
It's just
on the fly, but yeah.
But it is. And I'm not necessarily saying I'm searching for things.
No,
it's
you hear what you hear.
They are presented very obviously.
And yeah, I'm listening with a bias. Yes, I know exactly what happened last season.
It's quite frankly hard to ignore all of the clues that these players are giving us as to
like. How has the entire coaching staff overhaul kind of changed just the vibe and the mood around here?
They real big on the details. Like I've been in a program, you know, Kirby Smart and all that, where the details is the main thing, but I've never been where it's like, we're going to go inside that detail and fix that. So I feel like the details that they are trying to install in us will help us on the field and kind of off the field with how we process everything.
It's funny because Chris Emma tried to tell us about this at the start of this mandatory minicamp.
Boy, did
he. And we laughed at him.
Because we laughed with him.
Or with him, yeah. Because it was funny the way he was saying it. But he basically explained to us that there was so much coaching going on.
There's so much coaching going on out there.
And so to hear the players now after that talk about it. And again, my whole thing is I'm trying to go forward. I understand why the lens is what it is because of what happened last year with the 10-game losing streak and the 5-12 and the fired head coach for the first time mid-season in franchise history. But I'm more focused on Ben Johnson is doing things that the players like and it's making sense and what Ben Johnson's saying is making sense. And I think that goes to where they are right now because Ben Johnson was clearly asked a question and I used to think when listening to Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus, whoever, I was like, it matters that you can command the room speaking, but how you speak isn't as important as some people make it out to be. But after hearing Ben Johnson talk about what was accomplished during this OTA minicamp process, I have to check myself a little bit because listen to Ben Johnson.
We've set out goals and objectives for phase one, phase two, and phase three, and we circled back on what those were for phase three this morning as a group, and we felt pretty good about what we've been able to accomplish. The onus is on our players now to take advantage of the next 6 weeks. They've built a lot of goodwill with their bodies, conditioning-wise. They're strong. We've got a number of guys that lost fat mass and gained lean mass and in great shape right now. And we got to continue that trend, not just to maintain, but even keep pushing that a little bit further. Because for us, training camp's not a get in shape camp. It's show up in shape camp. And so we can become a good football team.
That's a public message directed at his players that is very clear, and it's not hard to interpret.
It's not the James Harden plan is what I heard there.
Well, James is a magician with his body. He can do all kinds of things.
And also it makes him money. Like that he gets to the place he wants to go. But the point is, this is not your time to get in shape. You should have been in shape already. Roma Dunze actually talked about that a little bit.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Look, I mean, Brad Keller's pitching wonderfully. I mean, he's doing a heck of a job, and that was a great addition. Drew's been awesome, and Drew's handled that role, kind of whatever we asked of him. He's been an opener before. He's been a starter before. So he's done a great job of it. So we're pitching really well, particularly in the bullpen.
That's Craig Counsell talking about how he's been able to use his pitching staff. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. And there was an article that came out in The Athletic, courtesy of our friend Patrick Mooney, talking about how the Cubs aren't waiting until the trade deadline to make more moves for pitching. Right now, what they're doing is something pretty savvy. They started it with a guy like Drew Pomeranz, for example, keeping eyes on pitchers who sign minor league deals in Major League Baseball that have clauses where if they can go to the big leagues, they become available after a certain date, the June opt-out clause. Guys like Jorge Lopez, for example, recently DFA'd by the Nationals. That's somebody the Cubs are keeping an eye on. And when you consider how they've been able to use veteran pitchers who signed minor league deals, like Pomeranz, for example, Brad Keller, and how they've been able to utilize their skill set on the team, is something that has been really impressive.
Not just impressive, but it's Craig Counsell's overall view on, hey, just because a guy didn't work out there doesn't mean he can't work out here. I think Drew Pomeranz is the best example of that this season, because Drew Pomeranz was not thought about in a way in which Craig Counsell was going to make this guy a guy who's made as many appearances in as many different roles as he has and not given up an earned run yet.
Yeah, we can actually physically show the Twitch chat what Drew Pomeranz's ERA is.
Oh, are we doing this? Okay.
It's zero. It's 0. You can make 0, it 0. With hands over your heads. That's not just impressive. That is wild when you consider what all Pomeranz had to say about this. Like, for example, he said that Craig Counsell contacted him. And Pomeranz goes on to say, quote, this is my 11th organization in 15 years. So there's a lot of those names that keep popping out. I'm just glad they're still calling, to be honest. Pomeranz is 36 years old, and he was the one who opened the game for Ben Brown in a very unconventional manner to just get that first inning out of the way before
Nine
Ben
pitches.
Could pitch multiple innings that led to the Cubs' first win of the series against the Nationals. But it's what Pomeranz had to say about Counsell that really is, I think, the key in all of this. He says, quote, I love playing for Counsell. I was with him for 2.5 months, and that was probably the best 2.5 months I've ever pitched, to be honest. That's what I told him. I was pretty good for you last time, so hopefully I can give you something like that again. When we heard that Craig Counsell was coming to the Cubs, it was all about how he knew how to use his bullpen. He knew how to use his pitching staff. And I'll be damned if we're not seeing that now form the way it has.
Well, it's a year later than maybe we thought we were going to see these types of results out of the bullpen. Obviously, injuries had a big part in that last year. But to understand that Craig Counsell, back in 2019, took a guy in Drew Pomeranz that was waived by the San Francisco Giants because he was 2-9 with a 5.68 ERA. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to use it in a different way. He had 45 strikeouts in 26 and a third innings because he used them in the way that he did. You take that, that's one factor. You take a guy like Brad Keller, Chris Flexen. Who did they pitch for last year?
Right.
The Chicago White Sox. How much better do they look in Cubs uniforms being utilized in the way that he's doing it? And the biggest example is your favorite guy, Daniel Palencia. Didn't even break with the team out of camp.
Daniel Palencia's favor on the Midday Show has been a veritable roller coaster.
Well, it's the fact that he started the year in AAA Iowa, gets called up, not only as part of the bullpen, but he's got 5 saves and 5 holds after we saw their previous closer, Porter Hodge, who also wasn't their original closer, go down with an oblique injury.
Well, and the way that the Cubs...
Or hip, I guess, now.
Yeah, the way that the Cubs have also talked about other pitchers and guys that we thought might actually get these chances that we talk about, like that, you know, for example, Julian Merriweather gets DFA'd, but they decide that they want to hang with Daniel Palencia. A lot of that, of course, has to do with what the structure of the options are and the contract and things like that. But either way, they're showing you in their roster decisions that they are not taking any of this lightly. Like they're going to give the hook to guys if they have to when it comes to roster spots. So when it comes to seeing who they want to keep and why and then how they're being utilized, this is all coming together in a way that makes it function more. The fact that Lopez is somebody we keep an eye out for now is a good example of that. And as Mooney points out, he's expected to clear waivers, but the Cubs would not be in a position to offer Lopez a guaranteed major league spot or automatically put him at the top of the AAA depth chart because you've got guys like Nate Pearson, Gavin Hollowell, Tom Cosgrove, and Riley Martin. But the point is, managing that to then have them ready to bring them up for this is a great example of keeping people fresh, keeping people in opportunities that suit them. You hear somebody like Drew Pomeranz, who is a respected veteran, say things like that. And some of the teams that he's been on, you know, playoff experience, things like that. That's big when it comes to making sure that you know you're on a team where you can get the best out of yourself. That's something that I always talk about. Are you your best version of yourself? That is the goal.
Well, with a guy like Lopez, here's why it's interesting to keep an eye out. Even though they can't offer him a major league contract, all he has to really do is look at what the Cubs have done this season and be like, hey, signing a minor league deal is good here because, one, I'll be in an organization that is winning. Two, I know how they do things with their guys as far as relievers being called up, down. It's a depth chart type situation. You can never have enough arms. I love Craig Counsell's quote that he gave to Patrick Mooney in the story. Quote, you got to take shots. You never get satisfied. You never stop looking for those opportunities. And that's something else that the organization is doing well. The quest for opportunities in pitching. It is 365 days a year. It doesn't matter if it's the offseason, May 28th, June 28th, August 28th, you're trying to add pitching and develop pitching. And it is a nonstop goal. Like, just you, because you cannot have enough arms in your system, whether that's the major league level, the 40-man roster, or just off the 40-man roster, looking for a way to get onto the 40-man, and then obviously the 26-man roster.
Additionally, Marshall, it just speaks to diligence. This is not state secrets here. Every team wants to develop pitching. Even the White Sox are a good example of wanting to do so. That's not the point. The point is the diligence and the creativity in how they are getting certain players, where other teams may write them off, but they're saying, here's why we're seeing this in this person. And that's when Pomeranz is a guy who, for example, tells you how. So that diligence that not only Counsell has, but the organization has to be able to say, I wonder if that person would work with us. And if so, how am I going to make sure that they are utilized? When you see that play out, you can't argue with the results right now. And you consider the Cubs are 15 games over 500. This past weekend's example against the Reds, perhaps the best one.
Relief pitching is by design a roller coaster because we notice more when relievers have bad outings because they don't pitch as much as far as consistency. You know, a starter every fifth day is going to do his thing. But a reliever can come in, have like three or four good outings in a row, get blown up. No, I'm not looking specifically at the guy who started the season as the closer, but I'm saying I'm using that as an example here. But the thing is, as long as you have a plan and you have guys that you can reshuffle, and that's why I'm kind of okay with the fact that we don't necessarily know who's 7, 8, 9, and it's a different answer today than it was certainly on opening day. It's okay. I think Craig Counsell has command of what's going on with this particular bullpen.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Here's another quote from Craig Counsell that I think is really good about this. It's almost hard to keep up with, he said of the bullpen turnover, but it just highlights the difficulty of the job as much as anything. So you try to just embrace it. It's a harder job. And how you find the answers is to say, I don't know the answers. I don't know. And when people are willing to say that, what usually happens?
Those are three powerful words because that means you're trying to find answers. You don't think you know everything.
It means that you're going to, like, you try to succeed. It's those who say that they do know when they don't have answers that the problems happen. He also continues, always be on the lookout. It's a 365-day job trying to get bullpen help. This is philosophy. He's letting us into the real process and the concept and the mission statement here. He says, some areas of the team, you can't go get a third baseman on April 1st, right? But with relievers, that's how it works. When you ask why the Cubs wanted Craig Counsell, when you ask why they decided to pay him $8 million a year, this is the stuff that I think people expected.
He's certainly making it pay off. And like I think, when I say it's a year later than we expected, it's because of how last year went, 83-79.
Here's your roster. Go figure it out.
Yeah, but this time it seems like, and I don't know how much more or less involved he was in this type of stuff as far as going and finding guys that maybe he had passed with.
Yeah, this isn't Jed Hoyer on the phone with Drew Pomeranz.
No, Drew Pomeranz is like my
Craig Counsell.
My caller ID lit up, and it was Craig Counsell. I think him taking that extra step is going to, it's already paid big dividends, but it's going to prove to be even more valuable as we get closer and closer to not only the trade deadline and the post-trade deadline stuff that happens when guys get put on waivers and you're hoping they clear, but also close to the playoffs when decisions have to be made about who is in these roles. It's going to be more of a permanent effect when you're talking about putting a playoff roster together for the NLDS and hopefully the NLCS and who knows, maybe even the World Series.
He said it. He said it. We also want to talk about it to Russ Dorsey. There's been a lot of suggestions on our text line. Guys, I don't think Javi Baez on a first place team is going to come back to the Cubs this year. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You can wish cast it all you like. You can put it out there. But I'm just going to rain on your parade a little bit. But I get it. I get it. We are going to ask him about the question, though, when it comes to the Cubs, about who also might possibly be part of the teams that are willing to not only trade some arms, but other players as well, because that's important. So Russ is coming up at 125.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sox Machine.
Jim Margulis, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast.
A lot of the problems with the offense are because Andrew Vaughn's so rough, he's in Charlotte. Luis Robert Jr. looks like he should be in Charlotte. Without them even performing at average levels, you just don't have a heart of the order.
Managing editor of SoxMachine.com.
The lineup is still just a big question mark, and I think will be for quite some time because it's relying a lot on Mike Tauchman.
Jim Margulis on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
It is disturbing how well those comments have aged. Let's go back to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our friend Jim Margulis of Sox Machine. Who better to talk about the big breaking White Sox news? He is the managing editor of SoxMachine.com. Hey, Jim.
Hey, I assume we're talking about Kyle Teal coming up?
Yes.
We should.
That is one of the things we are talking about. Absolutely.
It's on the docket, but unfortunately not the biggest item.
I think I know what that is.
dramatic pause. What were your thoughts, A, when you first initially heard about Justin Ishbia buying minority shares a couple months ago, and then B, yesterday's news about this succession plan that wouldn't theoretically take place, if allowed, until 2029?
I was surprised by the initial news of Ishbia buying shares just because he looked like he was on a smooth course to buying the Twins, and the Twins are a nice solid investment, I think, in terms of, you know, where they are in the region, their stadium, everything like that, to where an owner with a lot of capital could make a big difference there. So the fact that he pulled out of that to invest in a White Sox team that wasn't actively looking for investors or a next owner, you know, there had been some rumblings with Dave Stewart, but turns out he didn't have the money. So the fact that Ishbia came in with the White Sox, then turns out that the White Sox were interested in having him add to his minority shares versus like Ishbia asking the White Sox to do so. That surprised me quite a bit. The news itself that came out yesterday only surprised me because when I got the email with a notification from White Sox Media Relations, I thought it was announcing the Comcast deal because that had just broken on the Sun-Times like an hour before. So I initially glanced and thought, oh, Comcast. Okay, I'll get to that when I get to it. And then I looked at it a minute later and like, oh, this is what they were loath to announce and formalize before. And it seems like it's very formal now. And in true White Sox fashion, it's a little bit either disappointing or a lack of catharsis. There's no immediate celebration yet for White Sox fans who have been hoping for a change. I think it's just more a matter of there's at least an end date or a range of end dates in sight.
I mean, to be fair, because of the owner Jerry Reinsdorf's age at 89, I mean, this doesn't seem to fast forward anything. He could literally live out his days as the owner of the Sox before this even kicks in, if we're talking about the 2034 portion of this, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I looked at it after kind of processing the news is that everybody involved gets something from it. With Reinsdorf, you know, he's talked about how he wants to keep doing what he's doing because, you know, it's basically his life, and that he doesn't really have other hobbies or interests that he can pour his his time into and effort and care into. So the White Sox are and so the fact that he gets to continue running the team for at least four more years before potentially selling it makes sense for him. I think for Justin Ishbia, it makes sense to have a formal place in this arrangement because there are so many key things coming up, whether it's the labor deal in 2027, whether it's the expiration of Wrightfield lease in 2029, and all the rumblings of a new stadium. It never made sense for Reinsdorf to be driving the new stadium because, one, he made all of the wrong decisions with Wrightfield, as it turned out, and now he wants to move out from it after 30 years. But also, like, it's going to be the next owner's big push, big investment, the big thing to hang a franchise value around. It didn't make sense for Reinsdorf to be driving a deal. So having Ishbia formally involved makes a lot more sense there. And then for White Sox fans, they at least, you know, it's no longer hypothetical or entirely hypothetical. There's a date you can put on it. And, that's maybe not enough for White Sox fans who would like something to happen sooner, but at least there isn't this pretend notion that Ishbia is just buying shares and he's content to not have any say in the direction of the team over the next, 5 to 10 years.
Well, and Jim Margulis is on with us. He's the editor-in-chief of SoxMachine.com. And Jim, you're so good at also picking up at just the White Sox subtleties. You know, we talked a lot about, culturally speaking, how the Sox are not huge on announcements and big, major, grand gestures and actions. And to me, this was one in their eyes. And it was about as good as we can ask for when it comes to understanding that. What were your takeaways of just that part of it, the cultural shift it took for them, or even just action and the importance therein of taking this action?
It feels healthy, I think. You can't expect too much. You can't expect, we're going to sell the team to Justin Ishbia in 3 months once the league approves it. And it's been real, White Sox fans, catch you later. We're really going to see more of this, as long as Reinsdorf is healthy, which he seems to be, that they really seem to want to respect his place in the game and his legacy as it stands. as the owner of the White Sox. So, yeah, he talked to Bob Nightingale a couple months ago. Bob Nightingale said that, you know, Ryan Zarco had no intention of selling teams. So I think probably just out of respect for those wishes that he did not want to sell his controlling interest, that it wasn't going to turn on a dime, and it was going to be something that was going to be phased in, and, you know, with the idea that, you know, at some point in his 90s, probably, yeah, you can't count them out. You know, some people can keep going, but in terms of, like, just the statistical probabilities, the mid-90s is probably a good time to consider the succession plan.
Is this a win for Jerry Reinsdorf in terms of getting that capital put into his team with Ishbia, knowing that he's not going to live forever, so he's making the most out of the time he has left owning this team?
Yeah, it seems like it can't hurt. You know, I think one of the other reasons why he's loath to sell controlling interest is because of the tax implications of selling while you're alive versus having it passed on. And, you know, so I think as much sense as it might make for him to sell the team to somebody who wants to buy it for just like the health of the franchise and the ability to compete in 2025, you know, that was just a big just red flag personally that prevented from being done. So the fact that, you know, he still gets to hold controlling interest and, you know, gets to put off that decision for at least, you know, 4 years, possibly nine, and while getting the benefits of having a more, you know, having a partner with deeper pockets come in and help either it's address debts or some of the operational costs, can't hurt.
Jim, I do want to also ask you about some of the prospect moves that have been made. It is Kyle Teal Day. Okay. Getting the call up, what does that say you think about the organization and just the direction they want to take, knowing that they do have a lot of catching talent?
Yeah, it's encouraging, I would say, in the fact that, you know, we've seen the White Sox delay and draw things out and, you know, have service time in mind and such. And, you know, given that the White Sox are probably going to lose 100 games again, you know, there's no reason to force prospects into the mix the way like the Royals are doing with Jack Caglione. You know, Caglione might not be ready for the majors, but he's hitting well in AAA enough to where, yeah, see if he can add to a contender. Like, the White Sox don't have that pressure. So seeing them add Teal at this moment, I think, underscores the belief that he's ready. And, you know, Washington and Charlotte and reading what James Fegan has said about talking to him in Charlotte and what, you know, coaches have said, people in the organization have said that he's, you know, to use our recon phrase, checking off all the boxes. And, you know, right now he complements well with Edgar Caro in terms of Caro being stronger from the right side, Teal being stronger from the left side. You have a long season ahead for both, and Caro has had a tendency to wear down at the end of season, so it helps keep him fresher. First base is open for the time being. DH is open for the time being. There are ways to play both if they want to be aggressive about it and have, you know, have them in the lineup 6 out of 7 days. So I think it makes sense now. And, you know, there might come a point where one catcher needs more time, needs dedicated time, either in Charlotte or Chicago to get the catching reps. But for the time being, given that Caro is holding his own in the major leagues and Teal looks like he's doing all he can in the minors, it doesn't hurt to change it up. Makes it more interesting, adds some depth to the lineup, and you know, the White Sox can use all the on-field interest they can generate.
Seems like it's going to make the lineup a little bit longer for the White Sox, which is something that those of us who have endured have been waiting on, as we're joined by Jim Margulis, managing editor of SoxMachine.com. I did want to ask you about that deal that you mentioned earlier, the CHSN deal with Comcast, and now it's going to make distribution a little easier on all those Comcast subscribers, around 1 million here in the Chicago area. That comes at a key time, kind of a whirlwind of news from the White Sox camp, but also the news that coming up, CHSN will no longer be available over the air. I watched through an antenna. What do you think about this news overall and what it means about the viewership?
Well, I should disclose that I live in Nashville, so I'm an MLB TV subscriber, so I don't have the experience firsthand. However, my, you know, my family still lives in Dyers Grove. My you know, friends still live there, so I have plenty of experience in terms of listening to it. The over-the-air component was, to me, it was a hard sell to get everybody on board. It felt like a little bit like, you know, using a computer program or operating system that's not Mac or Windows. Like, yeah, there might be a selling point, but good luck educating the consumer on how to get everybody involved to like salvage ratings and have, you know, advertising rates be what you want. So it, you know, Comcast seemed like it had to be the end goal all along. Also, it makes sense for Comcast, you know, if they're going to, you know, if they have some leverage over the teams to say, well, we're not a big fan of you having that over-the-air presence. You know, what does that do for us? So something had to give, I imagine. And, you know, I think it's a blow to consumers who are enjoying the free TV angle or just, you know, paying for the digital antenna and that being that. But I think, you know, right now with the state of all three teams that they, you know, it felt like they weren't major leagues, the White Sox, when they have wide TV distribution in their own market, when, you know, few White Sox fans are going to go out of their way to watch this version of the White Sox team. Like, they have to be in front of people. They have to be easy to watch or easier to watch because they're, you know, not easy to watch when it comes to actually watching them play. So to me, it's like it's a bad deal, but they had to pick one. And for now, I think, you know, especially, you know, in the context of Ishbia taking over, trying to get a new stadium, they really have to have some trappings of a major league franchise if they're going to try, you know, having these you know, hard negotiations with, you know, the city and the states.
And Jim, also really quickly, what did you think of just Colson Montgomery yesterday? He got two home runs, one of them reportedly 435. To dead center? Do you think he might be back on track?
He looks better. Like, he looked out of sorts. Like, even last year, you know, just being in Nashville, Charlotte came to Nashville. I watched him play, you know, 4 days in a row, and just everything's pull, 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 rolling things over, can only hit a, you know, a damage a certain kind of pitch to a certain area. So seeing him come back from Arizona, seeing him using more of the field, and then seeing that power directed to dead center was very encouraging and makes you think, like, okay, he's unlocked something that was previously holding him back. The drawback, of course, because it seems like there's always a catch with him, is that in his final plate appearance, he got plunked on the hands, like, pretty, you know, drilled by a 91 mile per hour fastball right in the hand. Left the game. I'm hoping that he left the game because they were losing 10-4 in the seventh or eighth inning, and so there wasn't a point in playing him, because he did stay in the game to run the bases. So it wasn't something that, like, cause him immediate pain and you're swelling and had to leave the game. Hoping it's more of a situation, take the precaution, because, you know, why put him through any kind of unnecessary risk when it's just two more innings?
Thank you so much, Jim. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us and giving us a little more insight on not only the big succession deal, but also some prospect talk as well.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, you're welcome. Always a pleasure.
That's Jim Margulis, our friend from Sox Machine, joining us to talk about a lot of White Sox news going on today.
And a reminder, hey, Chicago sports fans, Chicago Sports Network is now available on Comcast Xfinity. That's channel 200. Catch over 300 live Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox games each year. Visit chsn.com for more details. That's Chicago Sports Network, where Chicago comes first.
Yes, congratulations to CHSN, now on Comcast, which I have been subscribing for the whole time, so you get to see what I see, and that is a good thing.
Leila Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught!
That's CBS on the call. You know what call that was. Good old Fail Mary. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score as we continue to talk about the Bears talking a mandatory minicamp yesterday and our takeaways. It would have been nice to have a takeaway on that play. I said it. I'm sorry. Somebody had to. I give the Bears credit for giving us the players who we really want to talk to so far at minicamp. Like, the day before, for example, Marshall, we had guys on the offense who we know are really focused on what the role is going to be for them, and it might be different in DJ Moore. And then we had Cole Kmet as well and DeAndre Swift. And then yesterday, to hear from Jaquan Brisker was huge. Ben Johnson again with more information. And also Tyreek Stevenson.
Listen, they've done a great job. Shout out to Aaron Clark and the Bears PR staff in terms of, hey, these are the guys people want to hear from. Let's make sure that we make them available. Three on offense and then three on defense. Very interesting to see who comes out today to speak, but also Ben Johnson talking every day. And the last question asked to Ben Johnson yesterday was one I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting, because they asked him, who's really stood out to you at camp? And he said, literally, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but I will have that answer for you tomorrow. So now we know we're going to get a great answer on that question specifically. I'm really interested to hear how he answers that.
In the business, that's what we call a tease.
Sure is.
But I think for him, you can really tell, even just based on the few plays that we've heard about, whether it's from media, observers, whatever. I think Clay did a really good job of that on the first day. But then also, based on what he's saying, that he really is into the details and the process right now.
Detail.
And if you will, the scheme.
So detail's important. Forgotten detail from last year in that Fail Mary game is that Tyreek Stevenson had one more play to play while he was waving to fans. And I say waving, taunting is the word I was looking for. Sorry.
He was not focused on the play.
Or the details.
And you know, remember the week leading up to it when I was like, oh man, I think there's a chance this Bears game gets flexed. And then we're like, no, that would have already happened by now, right? But we didn't know, because we don't cover a team that gets flexed very often. Wow. How would we know how that procedure works? Then we find out, huzzah, the Bears game has been flexed. It's going to be the matchup of two great rookie quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, upstart teams, new people around them. And then,
yeah, bad things happen. Tyreek Stevenson, not only did he not play the defense he was supposed to, but he ended up not being in position and tipping the ball to the player who would catch the game-winning touchdown. So you're wondering, okay, Tyreek Stevenson now has maybe a fresh start because he's got a brand new coaching staff that he's working with. But listen to what he had to say about having a fresh start with the new staff going back to that play.
I wouldn't say a fresh start. I would just say some of the guys come out with the same mentality. We add some pieces in, add some dogs, and now, you know, it's time to hunt now.
Ben said that he hasn't really talked to you about the Hail Mary play last year. Has Al Harris or any of the new coaches been like, so what happened there?
There's really no conversation need to be had. I owned it. It was a mistake. I just happened to play a sport where my mistake is just national televised, and I feel like talking to me and going through the meetings, they can see that I already owned it up to it. And, you know, I owe the guys from last year nothing but effort and myself, and they see that I'm putting it in. So there's really no conversation need to be had.
I disagree. I strongly disagree with Tyreek Stevenson's assessment of the situation, and that's the play that everyone knows him for. In NFL circles, in football circles, in the city of Chicago.
Most importantly, our listeners.
Yes. Yeah, so
do you know how many times we hear about Tyreek Stevenson and the Fail Mary all the time? We've blocked hundreds of people on the text line. Y'all probably don't even know sometimes. When it comes to the amount of times we have heard about Tyreek Stevenson, the amount of times people bring up his name when it comes to the word discipline simply being uttered by anyone on the Bears. I'm talking anybody. It could be Kevin Warren's super secret assistant. If somebody mutters the word discipline, somebody who listens to our station is going to reply back, Tyreek Stevenson. That is how the law of this physics is working these days. You know, I think it's great that you don't think you need a conversation. I think you need to be on the damn football field to figure out whether or not you need a conversation about this. I think you need to show me every single play.
Well, we're not in pads yet, so
I need them to be.
I get it.
And this is my message.
I don't get why no one, if that's true, has talked to him. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say about being asked if he had talked to Tyreek about that play.
Obviously, last year you had the Hail Mary play that became a big storyline nationally. Have you talked to him about it? Had a back and forth with him about, hey, what happened here? Hey, you can't do that. Anything like that.
No, I think he learned his lesson from that. And his peers have certainly talked to him about it. And it wasn't really any reason for me or the staff to piggyback on that, because he's learned from it. He's grown from it. And what's in the past is in the past. And we're moving forward.
I want to know what the conversation they had was about, because we know, here's what we know about Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson has had these extensive conversations, which are probably designed to go about 15 minutes to a half hour, that have ended up going an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on who you ask
on
the Bears roster.
Saying, yes.
And so what were y'all talking about? That's what I'm really keyed in on and wondering, not just what he was talking about with him, but what did Dennis Allen talk about with him? What did Al Harris talk about? I need to know.
It's impossible to say that this was something that wasn't going to hang over your head. Like, that's just, I appreciate you thinking, like, again, you all can say you've moved on and that's cool. That's your job. Our job is to examine how these things come together in a way that lets us know more about your football team and what we can expect to see and what fans are talking about. And fans are very much still talking about this. Like, that's incredibly the case. Like, I don't know how to reiterate that anymore. So when it comes to Ben saying what he needs to say, I get that. But come on, man, you can't tell me that if there's not a preseason game, I'm talking like a drive, where you see him slacking after everything we've heard these coaches say about body language and details and discipline, that you're not giving him a shorter hook?
I think that's the case. Come on. I think that's obviously going to be the case. But I obviously, here's how I look at it. Tyrique Stevenson is on his P's and Q's. The I's are dotted. The T's are crossed. It's like the best version of cursive writing you can read, because he knows everything's got to be on point. The syntax has to be perfect. Everything this man does this season is being watched. He's going into year number three. And I actually think that this is going to benefit him in the long run, because I think Tyrique Stevenson understands what the stakes are, not only for the team, the Bears, his performance and how that impact that memory is seared into his mind. It will never leave. He's never going to forget that play and what happened and the aftermath. And so because of that, I think that Tyrique Stevenson is primed to have a Pro Bowl season under Dennis Allen. He's primed because the talent has never been lacking. No one's ever questioned whether or not this man had talent.
Wait a second.
What?
Can we get a sound effect or something? Like, no, it's got to be something else. We play that as elation. This is like a Marshall Harris hot take we have to keep track of.
I don't think it's a hot take.
Hold on, maybe that's it. And now it's time for a Marshall Harris hot take we have to keep track of. I don't know, I'll work on it.
You might want to clip that right there, what Layla just did, but I don't think it's a hot take. Here's why. The talent is undeniable, like the ability, right? He's a second round pick. Big things were expected out of him. Has he been consistent enough? Absolutely not. Has he shown flashes of how good he could be? And year three is when you take that big step, usually at any position on defense, especially. So I love under Dennis Allen for him to have the chance to really let loose and go free. Just listen to what he had to say about Dennis Allen specifically and how he might be used.
Honestly, how I look at it, he allow us to make our money. Honestly, you're a corner, you're a cover corner, and, you know, you got to cover the guys in his league, and his defense allows you to go out there and build your confidence up week after week, playing man after man on any receiver. So just building that confidence up allows you to go make the plays or take them certain risks that you wouldn't take if you was never put in that position before.
See, I love the comment about allowing us to make our money, by the way.
He knows what time it is.
That's a G statement. You know who I think of when I think of two examples on the team, even in the same relative position group, is that I think about how Kyler Gordon used his second year to have an absolutely fabulous third season. Yeah, I consider the way he used that year, even after we saw some real struggles in his rookie season.
Remember where he came from in that year one.
To be able to springboard, where we saw him at times fall down at the line of scrimmage, unfortunately. And I was like, man, my patience with you, sir. And then he's like, nah, Layla, let me show you my second season. And it was tremendous. And then we saw how that turned into his third season, which we're talking about. You know, where we're asking the question, has he led himself up to that level, that Pro Bowl level that you speak of? And I thought, what a great example that is for a guy like Tyrique Stevenson. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, we saw regression in the second year, which is wild to say when you consider how good his rookie season was and what his talent is. Like, he is a guy like that who is really good at searching for a ball, having that skill. Like, the way he sees a field, I think, is really important. And to know all of that and then to see it wasted on performance like what we saw, I think that is it's sad that that didn't happen. You know, it's sad that that example didn't mean more as a way to, not that I'm saying he had to model his whole year after him, but that you can see where that can take you, you know?
For him specifically, here's why I believe he's primed for the Pro Bowl season. Not just the talent, not just a fresh start with a defensive coordinator who's going to put him in position to make plays, when he talks about taking risks, when he talks about how much the Dennis Allen system is built on the ability to get deflections, pass breakups, all that. But he isn't a guy who has to have a big season and then wait the next season because, oh, that was just your first big season. He's already on everyone's radar. People know who Tyrique Stevenson is, for better or for worse. And everybody loves a comeback story. Everyone loves a comeback story. That's what this has the potential to be in year three.
I feel like you're coaching him up right now. You're like, you have the potential to make the Pro Bowl. You have a potential to have a comeback season. Everybody loves a good comeback story. I also want to point out what 847 is saying to on the text line, because I've brought this up. You know, Tyrique Stevenson has done some things after the snap when he's facing off with players where he has physical contact. He got away with it against the Texans, if you recall. But that wasn't the case later. These are big personal fouls that we're talking about. It wasn't just one play where there was an issue. And 847 says, what about his history of punching and slapping other players? Is he going to stop that crap too? I hope so. I hope so too, because again, that's part of this. Like, what do we think of when we think of CJ Gardner-Johnson? He gets under people's skin and he'll cost your team with penalty yards. And you know what else? He'll cost your opposing player to do something dumb, like hitting somebody in the head with a helmet on.
And
the helmet protects your head. Do you see what I'm saying?
I love that point that you just made, because here's what I believe. I believe after 2 years of playing in the NFL, he's found somewhat of a balance in terms of the getting under the skin, but also not letting his emotions get out of control where he's costing you yards. I think under Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen and Al Harris, he's really going to have a chance to flex his muscles in a way and now under control, because he's just more experienced. He's been good. He had a nice kind of bow on the season, if you look back at what happened in the win against Green Bay.
Yeah.
I really like where this is headed for Stevenson as an individual, and by way of his individual play, where the defense could be headed if they can, you know, get to the quarterback.
There's that Marshall coach up again.
No,
Marshall's trying to coach him up. Why is that a bad thing?
I'm not trying to coach him up. I'm making observations. That's it.
I think you sound like an experienced football coach just trying
I'm
to coach him
up. I'm definitely not
that.
My coaching skills go to Tecmo Super Bowl, and that's about it.
Both can be true.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.